Amen. Nice to hear from Pastor Phil. Yeah. Come on, let's stand up for a moment. Let's declare this word that's come from our president and father of the faith, now 600 churches across the world. Let's believe God. Come on, let's raise our hands for a moment. Now, I want to ask you a question. Those of you who have been in church the last few weeks, who knows that God has moved on your life and you've had a miracle, just wave your hand. Wave your hand. Wave your hand. All right, quite a lot. That's fantastic. Who still needs a touch of God on their life? They're believing for something, but it hasn't come through yet. Just give me a wave. Okay, quite a few of you. Can we declare today, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that your circumstance is going to change? Can you believe with me today? Let's believe. Father God, I thank you that today I am believing in you, not my circumstance. And I thank you, Lord, that you are the God of the promise. I thank you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And today, I claim my victory in the name of Jesus Christ. I see houses coming into being. I see people's lives that have you struggled with areas of your life that you thought would never, never, ever change, and they are going to change. Lift your eyes to me and you will see an abundance of my joy and my peace coming into your life. There is nothing like is going to happen in these days ahead, and you may be thinking that, well, I don't know if I should be here. You should be here because this is where the power of God is. This is where your life will get changed. This is where there's going to be transformation. This is a house that it will, that I have called my name, and the glory of God will be revealed through you if you just look up to me. Can we look up to God today, church? Can we really just give him one shout of praise right here, right now? Thank you, Father. Lord, we loose the shackles. We loose the shackles. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The people of God said, amen. You can take your seats. Thank you, church. That's awesome. Merry Christmas. I just want to know, did I win the ugly sweater award? Everyone that's got a Christmas jumper on that did what their pastor asked them to do, stand up with me. Come on. Come up here, Avina. Come up here, Emma. Come up here, Charlie. Yeah, come on, you guys, come up. Who else? Anyone else? All right. Who's the ugliest?
That's great, I love that.
Who's the most Christmassy? Charlie, Avina. Awesome. Well, I think the rest of you, when we say we're going to have Christmas in July, what do you need to do? Come dressed as Christmas in July. Make a fool of it. If Nigel can do it, you can do it. God bless you guys. Thanks.
Where do I win a trip to?
Fantastic. You have got an ugly Christmas jumper on, Mr. Ben. You have. You should have come up. All right, he's trying to hide. Okay, I want to stay, you know, it's good to have fun, right? And I also want to stay in this zone of what Pastor Phil has just talked about. Who believes that prophecy is real? And that we can change the situation that we're facing simply by speaking out. There's power in what we say. And it's amazing to me that here we are at Christmas in July. For unto us is the title of my message. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a king is given. And that's from Isaiah. I can't remember exactly the verse, but that's where we're going today. But I just want to talk about this very briefly. Well, maybe not that brief. We can be healed. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can be healed. You can be set free from sin. Is anyone glad they're set free from sin? I am. Come on. We can be set free from our shame and our guilt. We can confidently speak hope into our lives because Jesus has come to us. He's come to us. Unto us. He identifies with us. He is for us. So many people have this idea that Jesus is everything you do wrong. I've got a mate at the gym and I'm still working on him. It's been a few years. He's gone off to Bali to try and find himself again. But you know what? I says, it's okay. He said, you still got me. You're a good mate, Nigel, he says to me. And the thing is, Jesus has identified with us. We don't have to chase this. We don't have to chase that. We don't have to go and try and find ourselves. He's done it all for us. And Jesus proved he was the Son of God, not only through his birth, but through his death and through his resurrection too. Come on, let's give Jesus a big hand this morning for who he is in our lives. You know, Pastor Phil, is anyone like Pastor Phil here today? He said there's another level of power coming. Does anyone want to believe with me that there's another level of power coming? Who knows that Australia needs a move of God? And he's our leader, and I want to agree with him, don't you? We want to believe that God's working through him, and so it transfers down through all of us. And it's not that we do not have his power right now, because we have his power. But there are times when God increases his power on the earth because he can, because that's his nature. And I'd rather believe that there's more power coming. Will you believe with me, church? Will you believe with me for those things that you're struggling with? You know, I'm going to pray and believe and continue for miracles. For people that don't have the work that they want right now, but it's coming. For those of you who are struggling with issues that are health problems in your life, we're going to keep believing and we're going to keep pressing in, because if we don't have God, who have we got? And so this morning, although that's not really... My focus this morning is really on unto us. It's a prophecy from Isaiah. And in the Bible, it's a great example of the Word of God for our own lives as well. Isaiah, for the most part, prophesied about God and the coming of his Son. In Isaiah chapter 6, he records that God came to him, how an angel touched his lips and transformed him into the messenger for the people. We are those people. And God has a powerful message for you and I today. It's the same as it was yesterday. It's the same as it's always been. And it's a powerful message because Christ has risen. And so Isaiah said to God, "Here I am, send me." Can we say that? Here am I, send me. You know, we're coming into our Leap into Spring, our missions emphasis right through August. And I'm glad that, okay, here am I, and we all can't go to Africa. We all can't go to the Philippines, although some of you are Filipino and you do go. I understand that. That's great. We all can't go to India, but we represent these areas and others like it. And we want to do that, and we're excited about it because we know what Jesus has done for us. Surely we can do something. And so if we can't go, we can bring our resource into the house of God, and we can believe like we've never have before to see this earth transformed by the power of the living God. And so that's why we do Leap into Spring, because God's already touched us. For unto... Let me read the particular scripture, Isaiah 9 verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, there will be no end." For unto us, say it with me, for unto the Old Testament, here's an interesting fact, talking about what Pastor Phil was speaking about. The Old Testament records more than 300 times prophets predicting the Messiah's birth, life, and resurrection. 300 times. And Jesus fulfills every one of them. That Jesus was born in Bethlehem, it was prophesied about. Of a virgin, prophesied about. From the line of Abraham, prophesied. It was no accident. And rather, it was predicted by the prophets centuries before his birth. God provided a roadmap foretelling the coming of his son. And in case you don't want to believe me, there's a guy called Peter Stoner in 1944, a professor of mathematics, who did a study to calculate just how likely it would be for Jesus to have fulfilled just 8 of the biblical prophecies, let alone 300. And he came up with the equation of 100,000, 1,000, 1,000, 1,000, 1,000, 1,000. It was impossible. And the reality is that Jesus' fulfilling of over 300 prophecies is mathematically deeply unlikely to be a coincidence. And it is the magnificent details of these prophecies that we can find confidence in the truth of Jesus' significance as the Son of God. Can we be confident in the Son of God today? And what he has done for us. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a king is given, a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And so, Lord, we thank you today that we can be confident in a Savior that is setting us free. And, you know, I just want to, there's so many things I want to just share, but let me try and keep to the points. Have you ever done something relatively stupid? I've done things that have been really impetuous and silly. I'm sure there's no one else out there like me. And then I've gulped and thought, I'm going to be in big trouble when I get home. Andrea's going to really not be happy with me because I shouldn't have really done it. And we had that conversation and then I did what I shouldn't have done. No one else out there like me? No. I'm the most stupid. That's why I'm wearing the ugly jumper. Okay. So, what I find quite incredible, though, is that she still loves me. She still loves me. Even though I can be completely stupid at times, especially when I was younger. Maybe I've grown up a little bit. And I think to myself sometimes, why do you still love me? God commended his love toward us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for you and I. Maybe when I get myself cleaned up a little bit, then I'll come to church. Maybe when I finally beat that addiction, I'll come. Maybe when I have something to give, I'll come. Maybe when I'm a little bit better, I'll come. Maybe when I have sorted out my anger, confusion, turmoil, then I will go to church. You know what I love? I can come messed up. I can come with alcohol on my breath. I can come bleeding. I can come with all my faults. I can come just as I am. My Savior accepts me just the way I am. And the truth is, we don't learn too well from history as human beings. We are people that, for the most part, behave badly. It's part of our sin nature. You can talk to many Balinese people how Australians behave when they go to their country. It's an embarrassment, right? And some people think they have the right to kill others. Let's get real in the 21st century right now. And the result is that we go through airport security, everything beeps. Too bad if you've got a false knee or something, you're in trouble. Anyway, it would seem that animals are more precious than humans. And we have more than we need, yet we're depressed. We're fighting with our families. We're fighting for money from the government. We live in an entitled world. I deserve that, and I deserve that, and I need it now. And yet, we step back for a moment and look at what God has given us, and we are blessed. We are, for unto us a baby was sent by God, a baby who was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, I had to look up swaddling clothes because, well, I didn't actually know what the word meant. And I found out that swaddling clothes were like pieces of rag or, I guess cloth. And they actually held the baby together, so the baby was constricted. We don't do that anymore because we like to play with our babies. But that's how they did it. And so there's this little baby in a manger, all constricted. Let me just reflect a little on what I would have done if I were God. I think if I were God, I would have sent a warrior. And not just any warrior, a mean, nasty killing machine. One that had all kinds of ammunition, even weapons of mass destruction, just to wipe everyone out. Because let's face it, whether we like it or not, we're all going to do stuff wrong. And the easiest solution for I would see is no more headache. But God's not like that. Is anyone glad about that? From Earth's perspective, and I think we could agree that the birth of Jesus was a little bit disappointing. I mean, it's certainly not like Hollywood. There's this little baby. Nobody actually wanted it. You know, they wouldn't even accept him. They had to find a barn to go to. And he's in a barn. Wasn't exactly anything that would draw attention to when we saw him. And from man's perspective, Jesus was born on the hit list. He was more like the born identity. There was no room in the hotel for him. He was born to a virgin who was trying to explain to her boyfriend, this is not what you think. There was no palace, there was no guards, there was no palatial grounds. There was this falling down barn with cows and animals in it. He was born to a virgin who's, I've already said that. There's this barn. And from Earth's perspective, there was nothing wonderful at all about this situation. Never let people tell you that because of your external circumstances, there is no Christ there. Because Christ came in a barn. He will come to you regardless of your circumstances. Is anyone grateful for what Jesus has done for your life? See, with money, without money, no matter what you've done, not what you should have done but you didn't do, God came to you as you are. And when Christ comes to your life, It's those abstract things. It's the intangibles in life that are really the most important. And when I take a moment to ponder what Jesus has done, as I did just this week, about what Jesus has done for Andrea and I and our family, our children, I am astounded at what he has been able to do, which I know Andrea and I could never have done. I'm so grateful for the Lord in my life. And what really matters in a family is not where you eat, but who you eat with. And that's why we're having Christmas in July. Because it's good to celebrate what Christ has done. and do something a little bit unusual? Well, we don't really know. It's probably unlikely. I'll get to that in a second, when Jesus was born. See, we had nothing to offer. Jesus, whatsoever. We couldn't change our destiny. It was sorted. It was done. We couldn't buy his love. We couldn't plead enough. We couldn't try to get close to him. And the truth is, there's a great divide between fallen humanity and what Christ is in our lives. But I'm so grateful that God sent his Son, and God is love. God is. There's no question that Jesus came into the world to redeem us from sin and death. He came to deliver us from the curse of the law. He came to set us free from our human depravity, to destroy the works of the enemy. His precious blood brought the victory for our lives. See, Isaiah also prophesied. He said this: there was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. And then he says this: but the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought God was punishing him for his own failures, but it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. God has piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong on him, on him. There is no question that God, that there is no question that hell got nervous when they saw Jesus coming. And that's why he was born on the hit list, and that's why Herod sent out the kill order. Because Jesus was no ordinary man. And when you were born on the hit list, there's going to be obstacles that come against you that are unfair. It may be today that the enemy is trying to sabotage your progress. Can I say this to each and every one of us here this morning? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in than he that is in the world. So no matter what circumstances you're facing right now, you can rely on the person of Christ within you to get you through. He can identify with us. He was born in a barn strategically. There is a purpose in your problem. There's a purpose in your pain. There is a purpose in your adversity. It is not that God can't get you out of it. Does anyone believe here that God can get you out of the situations you're facing right now? Come on, let's believe together. Let's put faith into action. Let's prophesy what was prophesied about Jesus and take upon ourselves afresh today on this July Christmas service the power and the authority that we have in his name. God can get us out of it. It's not that he can't afford to, because he can afford it. And it's not that he can't fix it, because he can. If you have a problem and God doesn't fix it, there's a strategy that he is using. Put him in a barn, undetected, where only the wise men could find him. And sometimes you and I have a problem because it stops the enemy having access to us. He will put you in a place for a while. But the Bible says, 1 Peter 5:10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Lord, we hold on to your word today. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And Mary and Joseph had Jesus. And then they had to hide him in Egypt for 2 years living on the run. It is highly likely people bumped into Jesus on the run and he didn't look that great and mighty. And maybe people have bumped into you when you haven't been in the greatest place in your life. And they can't see anything good coming from you. When you're in that place, he didn't look like a conqueror. He's this little baby being carted from this place to that place for the first 2 years of his life. And there have been times in my life where I've found it difficult to know how to move forward at all. Unsure of how to make the best of a bad situation. Not so confident. And some situations in life simply suck the joy right out of you. But for unto us a child, unto us, come on, let's say, unto me, a child is born, a son is given. For unto us, there was something incredibly unique in what God has done for us through sending his son to earth in a manger in a non-distinct barn. He came in a way that ultimately every lover has come to. He came to a place to understand from your perspective. You cannot live with and love effectively somebody that you cannot understand. It's a scripture in Peter that says that to dwell with her, being the wife, according to knowledge, giving honor, that your prayers are not hindered. And you and I have to know someone to stay with them and love them, and as we honor them, so God helps us. And since Christ is married to the church, is anyone glad that Christ is married to his church? Since he's married to his church, I'm going to have to know you in order to dwell with you. Oh, Lord, I'm so grateful. He came so that he could see what it would be like to be you. For unto us, without Jesus coming, he wouldn't have known what tired was, because God doesn't know what tired is. He can stay awake 24/7. Who's looking forward to that day? He's available to us all the time. Doesn't matter what time we get up, doesn't matter what time we go to bed, he's there. He's there when we're lonely, when we're empty, when we're tempted, when we're exhausted. He knows what it's like to be you. For unto us a child was born. And Christmas is about a God that is so in love with you that he is willing to see your world from your perspective. He comes and tries on your clothes to be you. And when you try and pray, he gets how you pray. You don't have to have it all together, but he just gets the way that you pray and he helps you to pray even better the next time because he activates your faith. So I'm grateful for this opportunity in July to celebrate the birth of Christ. Is anyone glad that we can celebrate the birth of Christ? And I have had people come to me and tell me, but Jesus wasn't born on December 25. Who cares? Seriously. I care he was born. I don't care when. It's not important. December 25, July 28, somewhere in between. I care Jesus was born. He was born for me. He's born for you. Many of us have friends in Northwest Africa, in Liberia. Now we have lots of friends we're going to meet on video in the weeks ahead in Sierra Leone. We got friends in India. We got friends all over the Philippines. We got friends everywhere around the world. In Liberia, due to the civil war, there are a lot of people who have simply made up their birthday. Pastor Collie, the leader of C3 in Liberia, guess what day his birthday is? December 25. Guess what day the principal's birthday is? December 25 of our school. Guess what day the teacher's birthday is? December 25, because they don't know when their birthday was. And who cares what day their birthday was? I'm glad they're alive and I have a relationship with them. I care these people were born. And we should care deeply that Jesus wanted to be so like us. I care that I was suicidal, but he came alongside. I care that when I was at my lowest low, he understood what it was like to be me. I care that he loved me enough to come where I was and feel my pain. Unto us a child is given, unto us a child is born. Son is born. Somebody understands. Is anyone glad that somebody really gets us? I can't get no satisfaction. He understands. I'm furious. He understands. I'm injured. He understands. I'm broken. He understands. I'm depressed. He understands. I can go to the rock of my salvation. I can go to the stone the builders rejected. He's not just the God of the universe. He's not just the God of heaven and earth. He is mine. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Born in a manger, given to you. He's yours. And he came like all good lovers do. If you're going to stay together with somebody you love, you can't just see love from your side. Young couples may argue to prove their point, but when you get a little bit more older in your relationship, you come to realize that I can understand their perspective. Unto us. You know, the Bible refers to him as our kinsman redeemer. It's mentioned in Leviticus, mentioned in Ruth. You cannot redeem what you are not kin to. We cannot add to him, diminish him. He is our God. Can we stand to our feet today? Thanks, music team. I want to just repeat this verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And Father, today, with heads bowed and eyes closed, we thank you and we take this moment to recognize who you are in our life and what you have done for us. He is my Saviour. He is my peace. He is my deliverer. I can come messed up. I can come bleeding. I can come angry. I can come upset. I can come with all my problems. I can come with all my addictions. I can come just as I am. Jesus identifies why he came in an indistinct barn. And I thank you, Lord, that you have made the difference. And I can identify, and each and every one of us can identify in who you really are in our lives. So I want to ask a question, that if God is calling you, that if you have run away from God, that today, why don't you come home? Why don't you identify again with what Christ has done for you? Maybe you've not made a decision for Jesus in your life before. No more excuses. Let's make this day the day that we get right with our, for unto us, unto me, a child is born, unto me, a son is given. He will not reject you. He's your Lord. Let us pray a prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus,